Now, O Lord, the entrance of your word we know brings light. Cause that light to shine in our hearts and give us understanding on here this morning of the great love of God. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, let's talk about the love of Jesus. The love of God for us in Christ. Today's message will be on the steadfast love of God, anchored on the steadfast love of God. Steadfast love of God never faileth, never ceaseth. It's new every morning, the song says. But let's look at the scriptures and see how God commended his love toward us. You know, in the Old Testament, the Lord commanded the people to love the Lord their God with all their heart, all their might, their strength, and so forth, and to have no other gods before him. And people didn't really realize or know the love that God had toward them. I mean, it was more like, well, he commanded us to love. Well, I mean, it's like people saw the God as this, you know, angry God, you know, that's always punishing them for their sins, or, you know, anytime they walked away from him. But I don't think that they really understood the love of God for a long time. And God was always trying to win them over with his love, you know. But maybe they didn't fully understand it. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 3 declares, you know, what God says about how he has loved us with an everlasting love. He says, the Lord had appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The everlasting love of God causes his loving kindness to draw us. And then we see that the compassions of God, they fail not. The scripture says to us in the book of Lamentation, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. You know, his compassions fail not. They are new unto us every morning. Lamentation 3:22-23. And he said, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Well, let us see let us look a little closer about the love of God. You know, God didn't wait for us to be all cleaned up and all holy and all righteous before he loved us. You know, and that tells us that his love is unconditional. You know, sometimes we love people when they are good and so on and so forth. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. I mean, we hadn't even known the Lord. You know, we were way away from him, but he died for us nonetheless. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, I mean, the scripture talks about, you know, for a righteous man, somebody might die. But what about for someone who was already condemned anyway, for evil people? Would someone even venture to die for them? But that's what the Lord did for us. Lord, that we may be able to comprehend what that love is. Paul, in some of his prayers towards some of his converts or the people that, you know, he was ministering to concerning the Lord, he would talk about, you know, that we may be able to understand the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I mean, that was his prayer. In the book of Ephesians, he was always talking about that, wanting us to understand the love of God. You know, he said, look, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Ephesians chapter 3, reading from verses 14 and 15. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened by might. I mean, with might by his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, his love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. He wants you to know it, but he said, look, you really can't know it. It's too high for us. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. But you can experience it. You may not know it. You may not understand why he loves us so much, but you can experience it. Praise the Lord. And we who by grace have been plucked out of the clutches of sin, have experienced and continue to experience his love. Hallelujah. So let's talk about the love of God for us and how being anchored on that love is a secure, it's like a secure foundation, and the love of God. And we know that the devil is the one that tries to tell people God doesn't love you, he doesn't care. If he did, why would he allow this thing? Why would he let this and that and so on and so forth? Well, there's some things that do happen in this world, not because God did anything, but it is what it is, you know. So people always blame God for all the evil things. But we don't take time to thank him, you know, for all the good things. But we're quick to blame him for all the evil things. But I tell you something, that the love of God is not based on, you know, the good or the evil that people do. Now, we have come to understand the love of God. The scripture says, and I pray today that you also will come to understand it. We may not fully know it. I mean, we may not fully understand it, but we can experience that love. We want to be in a position to experience that love. The love of God passes understanding. Let's read some scriptures about that love. John, the disciple of Christ, he called himself the disciple whom God loved. Some people call him the apostle of love because he wrote a lot about, you know, subjects on the subject of love. You know, so let's read some of his writings. You know, not that, you know, we first love God, he said, but, you know, God loved us first. Let's read some of these things and how we ought to love one another. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. I mean, this apostle, he goes bold here to call God love. He didn't just say, well, God loves or God has love toward us. He's saying that God is the very essence of love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Let's talk about that love. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, herein is the love that we're talking about. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the payment for our sins. Now, beloved, if God so loved us, then we ought also to love one another. So we're going to be two dimensions that we're going to be talking about today, actually about three. The steadfast love of God that is stronger than whatever negative situation we may be facing. We're going to be talking about that because this is the love that he had for us from the beginning, wherein he loved us greatly. We'll be talking about the love of God that God wants, you know, to be shed abroad in our heart, not only toward the Lord that we should love him back, but also how we should love, you know, one another. Now, no man has seen God, he said, at any time. If we love one another, then God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now, hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have also seen and do testify that the Father, he sent his Son to be the Savior of the world, and so forth. Now, he said in verse 16, we have known and believed the love that God had to us. Have you known it? Have you believed it? God is love. He says it again. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. It's a song we used to sing like that. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now there is no fear in love, but perfect love casted out fear, because fear had torment. Now, if you were afraid, he that feareth is not yet made perfect in love. Now, we love him because he first loved us. I mean, look at all this stuff that this man's teaching about love. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. We'll come to that in a bit. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? This is the commandment which we have from him, that whosoever say he love God should love his brother also. Like I said, we'll come to that in a minute. But let's talk about the love of God toward us. The love that God has toward us. And how being anchored on that love is stronger than situations. First of all, let's read 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Remember again, this John wrote a lot of things about that. Beloved, he said, you know, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Well, therefore the world knew us not, because we knew him not, you know, and we are of his stock, so that's why they don't know us. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Now, every man that had this hope in himself to see the Lord, well, must engage in purifying himself, even as the Lord himself is pure. Now, that's the love that God had toward us, that he has called us the sons of God. Now, What does that mean to be the sons of God? You know, we've been talking about it, talking about the sons of God and this and that. You know, the one manifested son of God that we saw was Christ. And we saw the relationship of the Christ and the Father. And that should give us the kind of relationship also that we should have with the Lord. You know, Jesus would always defer to the Father. He said the Son can do nothing, you know, except what the Father shows him. And again, he said, look, you all may leave me that I may be alone, but I'm never alone. Because the Father who sent me is always with me. Why? Because I do always those things that are pleasing in his sight. John 8 and 29. Let's read a few more things about the love of God. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. How God even rejoices over us in his love. He loves us and he wants to rejoice over us. He wants us to rest in his love as even as he does himself. And so, read the scripture with me. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. And he will rest in his love with joy over thee with singing. I mean, just look at the demonstration of his love. Rejoicing with you. Joying over you with singing. I mean, rejoicing over you, resting in his love, and just covering us with his love. Hallelujah. And when we are faced with situations that seem to indicate otherwise concerning the love of God, let's see how Apostle Paul puts it. This is the part that I want to talk about on being anchored on his love. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, we see Paul going into a deep dimension here about the love of God that is for us in Christ Jesus. He said, and we begin to read, you know, from verse 31, what shall we say then? You know, to these things, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, shall he not with him freely also give us these things, all things? Now take note of that. God gave up his son, then how much will he not give us all these things? His only begotten son. Give him up for us. If you think he was able to do that, and then he will not give us all these other things, well, think again. The son, his only son, he gave to die for us. And the thought of losing the son, the thought of the son also being separated from the father, the pain of that separation, he went through all of it because of his love for us. And that is an indication that he'll give us even other things, all these other things. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? See, it's Christ that died. You know, who's going to condemn you? Christ is the one that died. Yea, rather that he's risen again. And he's at the right hand of God who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Let's take a look at these things. You know, the love of Christ. Shall tribulation? Now, being anchored on his love means that these things that come against us cannot shake us from our foundation. Tribulation cannot. Distress cannot. Persecution cannot. Famine, nakedness, peril, or the sword. All these things that may come against us. He said, look, nay, as 37, in all these things, Even though it looks like the devil's coming at us every day, looks like we're counted as sheep for the slaughter, looks like we're killed all day long. In all these things, he said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know, that love is being shown to us and explained to us in these scriptures, that the love of God is stronger than our tribulation. It is stronger than our distress. It is stronger than the persecution or the setbacks or the unfortunate incidents and things that we suffer in our lives. Love of God is stronger. And he said, I am persuaded, hallelujah, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, neither yet things to come. Well, I mean, things that are not even yet here, whether present, whether to come, whether height, whether you are up or you are down, angels or principalities. I mean, none of these things, height or depth on any other creature, that be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You really can't describe it until you experience it. When you experience it, it's like it melts away, you know, all that confusion. And it just wraps his arms around you. Hallelujah. You know, and many of us, we have experienced that love, especially when we first encountered that love. And what a joy, what a thrill it was. But over time, the devil begins to come against us to question that love, question his love because of, you know, situations and things, and sometimes even, you know, hardships and adversities and so forth, which we dealt with last week or so. I mean, all these things will just come against us, and the devil will make us feel like, well, if the Lord really loved you, all these things wouldn't come against you. But these scriptures tell us that his love for us is actually stronger than all these things that we may experience. And if we can just bask in his love, just enjoy, you know, if you understand it, you will enjoy it more. Praise the Lord. I mean, we who are children, I mean, who are parents that have children or grandchildren, we know the love that we have toward our children and toward our grandchildren and so on. Well, the Lord loves us with an even greater love. You know, Jesus himself said, greater love hath no man than this. You know, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. You know, Jesus told the Jews, he said, look, no man takes this love from, I mean, this is my life from me. You know, I lay it down by myself and I take it up again. This commandment I have received of my Father. John chapter 15 and verse 13, we'll see the declaration that Jesus makes about the love. It's a greater love. You cannot find any love that's greater in that how Christ laid down his life for us. And not just us, actually laid down his life for the whole world. You know, has made the propitiation for our sins. Now that is love. And all the things that he suffered and his passion and everything were wounded for our, you know, transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And all these things, you know, beaten up and bruised badly because of us and because of the love. And he was there patiently, took it all. Hallelujah. And the love of God if he did all of that, and he told us the reason why he did it, all of the beatings he took was for your peace. That's right. That you might have peace. It's the reason he took all those beatings. The chastisement for our peace was laid upon him. And then we're healed by his stripes. You know, those beatings left some stripes across his body. And those also brought healing to us. Now, whatever situation we are faced with today, we need to know and understand that the love of God is there with us. You know, the love of God is there with us. And we ought to also, you know, love one another. Why must we also love one another? Well, because, you know, somebody came to Jesus and said, look, you know, tell me, you know, what is the great commandment? And Jesus said, well, you know, I shall love the Lord thy God, you know, with all your heart and so forth. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, look, upon these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. You know, one, we love the Lord our God. Two, we love our neighbor as ourself. Let's read something that an exchange that happened here in Matthew 22. You know, let's see this story and how Jesus brought it out. Now we can see the love. Then we're going to talk about, we've got this vertical love between us and the Lord, and then this horizontal relationship love between us and our brother or sister. Let's talk about it for a bit. In the book of Matthew chapter 22, there's a story here that may help us to understand it. You know, this one man came to him and said, or actually told that he was tempting him, you know, because he wanted to hear what he would say. Master, Matthew 22 and 36, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said, well, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So you hear even Jesus himself telling us what it is. And the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, he didn't quite exactly say it like that in those 10 commandments or wherever. You know, he said a lot of things like, you know, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet anything that's thy neighbor's, thou shalt not, you know, this and this and this and this. But Jesus wrapped it up together in one saying. He said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Okay, well, if that's all that we, you know, everything, the law and the prophets hang upon these two commandments, well, let's see how we were instructed in the book of 1 John. You know, we started to read some of it, and 1 John was tell us that, look, if you say that you love God, right, but yet, you know, you don't love his children, then how can you really say that you love God? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20 says, a man that says, I love God, and yet hates his brother, is a liar. You know, and how can you love God whom you have not seen when you are not able to even love somebody that you see? And in other words, it is easier for you to love someone that you see and you interact with than for you to love someone you've not seen. You know, no man seen God at any time in that form, but we believe him through the scriptures, you know, and, but our brother we have with us all the time, And so if we say we love God, or we love not his children, then the truth of God is not in us. In these two chapters of 1 John, there were actually many chapters of 1 John, a few of those chapters or verses. He talked about this love in chapters, started to talk about it, you know, a lot in chapter 3, talked about it some more in chapter 4, about the love of God and our love towards one another, you know. And he said, look, this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, you know, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one that slew his brother. This is 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11. The message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now, this Cain slew his brother because his own works were evil and his brother's works were righteous. And, you know, John began to talk about this love. He talks about the love. And if we don't love our brother, what that means. Well, let's read it. He said in verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now, that's a powerful revelation. If you love the brethren, then you are no longer living in the dark phase. You have moved to light. You have passed from death unto life, he says. Now, but whosoever hateth his brother, you know, he said, look, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That means you're still in the dark and still in darkness. Now, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Now, there are some people whose bitterness and unforgiveness, we dealt with that several weeks ago, are so strong in them, it actually turns into hatred. Well, Bible calls those people murderers. And he says, well, no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Doesn't matter whether they jump up and down, speak in tongues, or whatever they do. You know, if they hate their brother or do not love their brother, they are still in darkness even until now. You know, and he said, look, this is how that Christ did it for us. In verse 16 of 1 John 3, he laid down his life for us. We ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, if you have this world's goods and see your brother have need and you shut up your bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in you? My little children, he said, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in truth and in deed. And you don't just say, I love you, you know, but do it in truth. How did God demonstrate his love for us? Well, he did something. God so loved the world. I mean, famous scripture that everybody knows, John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I mean, that's how he demonstrated his love toward us. Well, if we say we love the Lord and we love God too, what are we willing to give? Are you willing to give of yourself and that pain and that hurt and to release and forgive? We dealt with that before. You know, let us love one another. If you are not loving your brother as you should, remember Jesus said there's only two commandments. You don't need to remember a million of them. wrapped up in these two things. You love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your strength and so forth. And then you love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. And if we're not loving our neighbor as ourselves, then we're still in darkness. And remember, he started out 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 by saying, this then is the message that we have heard from him, you know, from the beginning. And we declare it unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Well, you know, light and darkness, they are opposites. Death and life, they are also opposites. It is, any man is in darkness, he abideth in death. If a man is in the light, then he has life. That's why I call the light of life. Jesus said, he that walks after me shall not be in darkness. You know, according to John chapter 8 and 12, but he shall have, you know, the light of life. But if we do not love our brother, and we do not love our fellow men, well, then we are still in darkness. If we're still in darkness, we're still living in death. And when it festers into hatred, the Bible calls that even the state of being like a murderer. Remember, no murderer has eternal life in him. You know? And the fate or the outcome of murderers is the lake of fire. So we have to be very careful. Now, to love the Lord, you know, is to keep his commandments. Jesus said that himself, John, you know, 14 and 23. He said, look, if a man loves me, he will keep my commandments. You know, so, you know, if you say we love the Lord, then let's keep his commandments. It's that simple. You know, we can't just be loving the Lord, you know, not with our mouth and not doing as he says. You say, well, you know, if you love me, then do what I say. It's that simple. And if you do what I say, then there are some extra benefits. The benefit of a deeper revelation of the Lord. I said, I'll come to you then, and I will reveal myself, manifest myself unto you because of your obedience. And so how do we know that we love God? Well, you know, because we keep his commandments. You know, that's how we know that we love God, when we keep his commandments. Because that's what Jesus said. He said, look, if you know, if you want to say that you love me, then keep my commandments. And that's how we know that we love the Lord. We keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous, you know, but, you know, we got to keep those commandments. And Jesus told us to do it, you do it. The Holy Spirit is with us now, giving us an understanding that we must, you know, keep his commandments. Let's read 1 John chapter 5. I mean, he's been writing about it in 1 John 3. He wrote about it in 1 John 4. Now we are in 1 John 5, and he's still writing on it. He said, look, whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ, is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. What does that mean? You know, if you love your friends, you automatically love their children. You love the person that begat someone, you love the person that is begotten of them as well. You know, and I know that there's some of my friends that I don't even know their children. But if I ever met them and then find that they are such and such, I just love them already. Because, you know, they are children of someone I love. You know, not because you have a personal relationship with them, but because you have a personal relationship with their father or their mother or their parent, you automatically love them. You know, that's what the scripture is saying. If you say, you know, that we love someone, then we will also love their children. It's that simple. Now, if you love the Lord, you will love his children. If anybody says they are a child of God, you will automatically love them. There's a, you know, you all might be drawn to love them because they're the children of God, because you love God. So you love his children. You know, now he said, by this we know that we love the children of God when we say we love God and keep his commandments. Well, and this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now, so we must keep the commandments of God. We must love the children of God if we say that we love God. Because if you love the parent, you will love the children. Now, if we say we love the parent, but we don't, well, we hate their children, well, you know, that's, I don't know what that is, really. I mean, that is, you know, that's really not genuine love. You would love their children because you love them as well. The relationship passes on to their children just because you love the parent. Same thing with God. If you say you love God, then automatically you should love his children. And you find out that you are unable to love the children of God, then maybe you don't really love God. You know? So that's what John is teaching here. If we find out that we really can't truly love our brother and our sister truly, and maybe it's an indication that we don't really love God like we thought we did. You know, so now, two or three aspects of this lesson I want to summarize. I'm just going to bring it in here. Don't want to be too long today. The first thing is to know that God has called us with an everlasting love. You know, even before the world began, he loved us. You know, he loved us before the world began. The best places to read about things like that, you know, will be in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians talked about, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's chapter 1 and verse 3. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You know, the love of God was there even before the world began. You know, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Now, this was way before the world even began. The disciples, after they came back, being sent out of the Lord, you know, to go out and preach the gospel and cast out devils and do all these things, they came back and reported the same. And they were happy. And Jesus said, well, that's good. He said, but the real reason why you should be happy was because your names are written in heaven. And these names were written in heaven even before the world began. That is the love that God has for us. Now, once we understand that love, then when things come against us in a journey of life, well, don't let those things move you. You got to go back to being anchored on his love. An anchor can be a number of things. You know, sometimes, you know, an anchor can be something that is used to hold something in place. That's the part that I'm talking about today. Hold you in place on a steadfast love of God. When the sea billows roll, you know, and so forth, if you're anchored, well, you're not going anywhere. You know, those ships, when they come in to dock, they throw down an anchor. Keep it in place. You know, I'm here right now. I don't want to move anywhere. Stay right here. So they do that. You know, and when the trials of life come against us, we need to remember the love of God that He has toward us. Praise God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I've loved you with an everlasting love. The scriptures are replete with examples of His love. Hallelujah. And the peace and what He wants to extend to us. Isaiah 54 and verse 10. The mountains, can be removed, the hills may depart, but not the love of God. His love and His kindness, He said, will always be there for you. No matter what you are going through, He will be there. You know, He said, my kindness shall not depart from you. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy upon you. The steadfast love of Christ demonstrated to us daily in His kindness, it will never be removed. He's always there. Praise the Lord. And not only that, you know, God protects His children too. You know, just like we who are fathers and stuff like that, we want to protect our children. Well, you know, God protects His children. Protects you by His love. And the good thing about the Lord that's much higher than us is that He actually has the ability to do it. We have a limited ability to protect our children. You know, because what if they're somewhere and you're not there? The best you can do is pray, you know, over them. You know, but God is ever present. And He has ability and the capacity to protect us. Hallelujah. And we're kept by the power of God every day because of His love. Now, He promises so many things for us. No weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. You know, every tongue that rises against thee, judgment, you condemn. This is the love that God has for us. To encourage us, to build us up, and so forth. And so many promises throughout the Bible that we should enjoy His love and His steadfastness. And don't let the devil tell you otherwise. Because sometimes we're going through and it's like, well, you know, the Lord really loved you. Why would He allow these things? You know, and so forth. Well, you know, those things may happen. I mean, good and evil happen to everybody. You know, upon the face of the earth. Right out of the book of Ecclesiastes said, look, I've seen all these things. They're vanity. These things happen to everybody. The good thing, though, is that, well, we got the Holy Spirit to help us through. You know, it'd be nice if we never, encountered any adversity or any setbacks or any difficulties or sometimes even tragedies. However, you know, if they do come, the power of the Lord is present to sustain us. And we should never, you know, let the devil tell us otherwise. God always has comforting words. You know, oh, thou afflicted, tossed with the tempest and not comforted. He always has comforting words for you. You know, I'm going to change your story, He said. I will lay your stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. Isaiah 54 and verse 11. I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shall thou be established, and thou shalt be far from oppression. Thou shalt not fear and from terror, because it shall not come near thee. Isn't that wonderful, all these promises? Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. That's the love of God for you right there. You know, the psalmist said, look, in Psalm 27, he said, you know, when I understand the love of God, when I understand, you know, the anchor that I have in him, well, then I'm not afraid of anything. That's basically the way he put it, you know. So let's read one or two verses in Psalm 27. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came up upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. And though war should rise up against me, even in this will I be confident. Well, because he's anchored on the love of God. And the other part of this lesson is for us to remember that love that God has put in our heart must be shed abroad toward our brethren. That's a real proof that we have eternal life, how we love the brethren. Because he that loves has God in him. He that loves not has not known God, because God is love. By this we know that we are passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. Praise the Lord. Today, I want us to cast our mind back on all the, you know, experiences of the love of God that we have had. And then just worship him. Hallelujah. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And to just love on the Lord. Remember the story of the little girl who said, I didn't come to pray. I didn't come to ask anything. I just come to love on the Lord. Let's just love on the Lord. I mean, we ask for a lot of things. Father, give me this. Father, give me that. Do this and do that. Which is okay. I mean, because of his love, he'll do it. But we need to just spend time to love on him and to know that when things are not going our way, remember when things are not going your way for the moment that the love of God is stronger than that situation. And that current conflict or distress, that present tribulation, you know, all of that that you may be going through at the moment, you know, sometimes the feeling of insecurity and uncertainness or uncertainty and so forth, all of that, they're just feelings. The truth of the matter is the love of God is steadfast. And he says, look, I want to establish you. I want to comfort you concerning your faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2. That no man should be moved, verse 3, by these afflictions. You know, don't be moved by these things. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 3. For you yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. You know, so all these things that happen unto us, well, it is what it is. You know, so well, we must know that the Lord is with us and he will never leave us nor forsake us. And we have the promise of victory too, because he said it already. When you pass through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm thee. You know, the rivers. Or even when you pass through the fire. You know, we'll meet at the other side because you're passing through. So we know that he's always there. I will be with you, he said. And indeed, he was there with it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego right there. Praise God. And let us learn to love one another even as Christ loved us. You know, God demonstrated the love of God for us, his love. Gave his son to die for us. Scripture says, inasmuch as Christ did die, we ought also to be able to lay down our lives for the brethren. I mean, come on now. just a little forgiveness. That's really all he's asking you to do. You know, and it's release them. Praise God. And forgive them from your heart. And love them truly. Praise God. Let's not love in mouth only. Let's not love in word only. But let's truly love one another. Now, may everybody, according to the prayer of Paul, he said, may the Lord grant you understanding to be able to comprehend the length, the breadth, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ. I pray over this room today that the Lord will give us that grace to understand, to comprehend the love of God. We may never really know why he loved us so, you know, but he did. We played that song at the beginning that talked about excess love. Why did he love me so much? Well, he did. And I thank him for it. He never had to do all those things that he did. Didn't really have to die. Didn't have to do any of those things he did for us. He doesn't have to do all the things that he still does even now. But he did. And he does. And he yet will do. Therefore, we ought to praise him. The love of God constrains us to worship and to praise him. Praise the Lord. So, Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for the love that we have experienced. We experienced it in Christ at Calvary. He went all the way for us. And Lord, we bear in our hearts that love even on today. And we love the Lord back in that we keep his commandments and love the brethren. And help us, O Lord, every one of us to love the Lord in keeping his commandments and loving the brethren. And Lord, the situations that some face today that the devil will try to use to cause you to move from that anchor, let it be known to you today that the anchor that is in the love of Christ is stronger than distress, stronger than tribulation, stronger than the problems that we face. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. Thank you, Lord. May your anchor hold in the time of trouble and the time of tempests and the storms of life when they come up against your boat. May your anchor hold. That anchor will hold when it is anchored on the steadfast love of God. When it is on the love of God, knowing that his love, the steadfast love of God, never ceases. It never fails. New every morning. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. And as often as we remember, let's take time out to thank him for his love. Thank him for all that he has done and is doing and is yet to do. It's already done, really. It's just that we're yet to enter into experiencing it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord bless everyone that's on here today. And just a quick lesson on the love of God. For us to enrich ourselves with the knowledge that his love is stronger than whatever situation we may face. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.